भगवते वासुदेवाय। हे कृष्णा, दिस हरे कृष्णा मंत्र इज ए वेरी यूनिक मंत्र, हैज वेरी मेनी डिफरेंट पोटेंसीज, एंड यू कैन अप्रोच दैट मंत्र इन मेनी डिफरेंट वेज। अकॉर्डिंग टू शास्त्र, ये यथा मम प्रपद्यन्ते तम स्थितैव भजम्यहम्। According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in whatever way you approach me, in that way I reciprocate. So let's look at this Maha Mantra and see how we approach Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is the meaning of Hare? Hare in Sanskrit, it's the evocative case. Therefore, Hare could be the evocative for Hari. It could be the evocative for Hara. Or it could be the evocative for Hara. Means that when you say Hare, you can either be calling out to Hara, which is Radharani, or you could be calling out to Hari, which is Krishna, or you can be calling out to Hara, who is Shiva. When you say Hare, all three of them will answer. It means either O Shiva, O Radha, or O Hari, which is Krishna. Did you know that? In the Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva is referred to sometimes as Hare, especially in the Daksha Yajna part of the Bhagavatam, where Lord Shiva, his Leela is prominent there. This is a case of a aparad to Lord Shiva. The Daksha Yajna Leela is where a great Vaishnava, Shiva, was offended, an aparad. Now in this chapter here, Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, it's also about aparad. In this case, it's the aparad involving Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. So let us study this verse and try to understand what is the meaning of aparad and how we can avoid it. But before we do that, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, what is the meaning of Ram? For some people, it means Ramchandra. For other people, it means Balaram, Krishna's brother. And for the Brijbasis, it means Radharaman, Radharaman, the beloved of Radha. So Krishna is also called Ram because he's Radharaman. Hare Krishna. So, ye yatamam pratvadyante tamstitaiva bhajamyaham. As we approach Krishna by chanting this mantra, we are approaching him in different ways, according to our own heart. Some people, they're very much attached to Sitaram, so for them, Hare Rama, Hare Rama means Lord Ramchandra. Other people, they're in the Gopa Lila, so for them, Ram is Balaram. And for those in the Madhurya Leela, Ram means Radharaman, the beloved of Krishna. So it's a very powerful mantra that reciprocates with us as we chant the mantra according to our own heart, not according to the head, because this mantra is according to the heart. But what part of the heart? Because in the heart, there are two directions of feeling. There's one direction coming in and another direction going out. The direction of coming in means that I see so many things that I desire, that I would like to enjoy. And so I see those things and I want them for me, for my enjoyment. That's called coming in. In Sanskrit, the word for that is kam. Then the other feeling from the heart is going out. I have love in my heart and I want it to go out to share with everybody. Just like Srila Prabhupada. For him, it was always going out to benefit others. And in Sanskrit, the word for that is prema. So the difference between prema and kama is the direction, whether it's coming in for me or going out for other people. So let us see in this shloka, in this chapter, what is the mood here? What is the verse number? 28. Tasma adad dharish chakram pratyanika bayavaham ikanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakti birakshanam tasma adadarish chakram pratyanika bayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakta birakshanam tasma adadarish chakram pratyanika bayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakta birakshanam tasma adadarish chakram pratyanika bayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prito bhakta birakshanam Pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his chakra, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. Responsively please. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his chakra, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. This is a very important shloka. Uttama shloka. This is one of the topmost shlokas in the Bhagavatam because it explains the mentality of the Lord. Many of us, we have a motto, how we live our life, our philosophy of life. Krishna also has a philosophy of life, a motto. And he tells what his motto is in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the motto of Krishna, the philosophy of life of Krishna? Yeyatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. So here we have the case of Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish is very famous for one thing, for Atma Nivedanam. He surrendered everything to the Lord. His words were only to glorify the Lord. His eyes were only to see the Lord. His nose was only to smell the flowers and incense offered to the Lord. His tongue was only to taste the prasad of the Lord. His ears were only to hear the Harikatha of the Lord. His hands were only to do service to the Lord. His feet were only to walk to the temple of the Lord. In this way, I'm giving some small example of the greatness of Maharaj Ambarish, who was well known in all of the Vedic times as the person who Atma Nivedanam, who surrendered everything to the Lord. Atma Nivedanam. He gave his whole heart and soul. And in reciprocation, yeyatamam prapajante, Krishna gave his heart and soul to Ambarish Maharaj. This is called sambandha, relationship of love, prem sambandha. And because Maharaj Ambarish was so dear to the Lord, the Lord gave his Sudarshan Chakra so that Ambarish Maharaj would always be protected. Very nice. We are also always protected. Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Krishna, he also gave us something from the spiritual realm to keep us always protected. And that is the mantra of Narasingha Dev. And by chanting that mantra, Namaste Narasimhaya, then we are also protected. Same as Maharaj Ambarish. This is called Prabhupada Kripa, the mercy of Prabhupada for all of us. So let's look at this purport and see what Prabhupada is revealing to us. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense. But because a devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. And Prabhupada gives some Shastra Praman from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, shloka number 43, spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Naived vie para duratyaya vaitarananyas tvadvirya gayana mahamritam agnachita. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of the transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord, and therefore he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. This was the mentality or the bhava of Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy. He did not know what is fear, because he always felt himself 100% protected by the Lord. Therefore, just as Maharaj Ambarish is known all over the three worlds for Atma Nivedanam, Prahlad Maharaj is known all over the three worlds for Vishnu Smaranam. He always remembered Vishnu, never forgot him even for an instant, always fixed his consciousness at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also makes his promise. Konteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati. O Arjuna, you may declare to the world that the devotees, my devotees, name bhakta pranashyati, my devotees will never be vanquished. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna to say this. Arjuna, you tell everybody that my devotees will never perish. Why Krishna is not saying directly? Why he's saying, Arjuna, you tell? There's very deep meaning. You listen carefully, I will explain. Krishna, sometimes he's very tricky. It's full of tricks. In battle of Kurukshetra, he said, I will not get involved. I will just be the driver of the chariot. But when he saw that Bhishma Dev was about to kill Arjuna, Krishna could no longer keep that promise. And he tore off the wheel of the chariot. And he ran towards Bhishma Dev to attack him. He broke his word. Out of love to protect his devotee. And when Bhishma Dev saw Krishna charging at him, he was filled with an ecstasy, bliss. His joy knew no bounds. He was shooting arrows at the Lord, and they were like flower petals full of love. Because this is the chivalrous rasa. The ladies may not appreciate such a rasa where the fighting is going on and they love to fight one another and seeing this blood and everything excites them. But when Bhishma Dev saw the cuts and the blood coming from Lord Krishna's body because he was shooting so many arrows, he was in ecstasy. And Krishna also, he was in ecstasy because he was fulfilling the desire of Bhishma Dev for some Yuddha Leela. And also, he was protecting Arjuna. Arjuna had fallen into some difficulty. His chariot wheel got stuck in the mud. He couldn't maneuver. It is said that Krishna is so expert that with one action, he fulfills so many desires and so many things that he wants to accomplish. He accomplishes all those things just with one activity. So now he's saying, Arjuna, name bhakta pranashyati. You tell everybody that my devotees will never perish. Because Krishna has the reputation that he not always keeps his word. And we have the reputation, us human beings, of not trusting everybody. We don't trust many people. There's very few people that we trust. We don't even trust Krishna. That's why we take shelter of our own mind and our own intelligence, because we only trust ourselves. We don't even trust Krishna. And Krishna knows this. He speaks it in Bhagavad Gita. Which verse does Krishna say, I know you don't trust me, you have no faith in me? Who knows that shloka? This is the shloka. Sarva dharman paritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. Ma suchaha means, don't worry, have no fear, have no doubt. What I'm telling you is true. Have no doubt. We have doubts. We're not 100% convinced like Prahlad Maharaj. like Ambarish Maharaj. Krishna knows that. Masuchaha, don't have any fears or doubts about what I am telling you. This is the final instruction in Gita. And he's telling, don't have any doubts about anything I have told you. Now, if someone wants to reassure you, don't have any doubt. That's a negative way of saying, trust me. Right? I can say, trust me, positive, or I can say, don't have any doubts. Is it not? Same meaning. So, the deep meaning of Ma Suchaha is, trust me. Krishna saying, trust me. Sarva Dharman Parityaja, all those other dharmas that you think are so important, you put them in the background. Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, and make me number one. Put me number one. If you do that, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, I will take away all your sinful activities. Not 90%, not 95%, 100%. 100% means past, present, and future. Krishna will wipe away the future pap karmas that you haven't even committed yet. How can he wipe away the karmas I haven't even done yet? Well, that is Krishna, Sarva Shaktiman. He knows that you will. If the future comes, you will commit those pap karmas. Why? Because the seeds of calm are in the heart, and he can see those also. But if you surrender to Krishna and make him number one, he'll wipe away the past pap karma, present pap karma, and all the future. Moksha Ishyami, and I will give you. Moksha Ishyami is first person. I will give moksha directly. Nobody else. Moksha Ishyami. Ma Suchaha, don't have any doubts. Trust me. So because Krishna knows we don't trust him, he says, Arjuna, you tell them. Name bhakta pranashyati. Arjuna, you tell everybody. They will believe you. They don't believe me. Poor Krishna. They don't believe me. But yet he's shown he'll do anything and everything, even break his own word, break his own promise to protect Arjuna. Therefore, he says, Arjuna, you know my devotee will never perish. Just as I've always protected you, you tell everybody else. Name bhakta pranashyati. So here, we see Maharaj Ambarish in similar situation. Krishna is going to guarantee that he's always protected because he's going to give him Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra is now going to stand guard to protect Maharaj Ambarish. The same chakra that Krishna sliced off the head of Shishupal, who insulted him in front of everybody. You crow, Krishna. Whoa, heavy. Great aparad. Now, how did Krishna take it? Sliced off his head to stop the aparad, but his soul went back to Vaikuntha. Because if Krishna kills you, or if he kisses you, same result. Same result. Because Krishna's not like us. He loves everybody. Look at Putana. Putana came only to kill Krishna. And when she convinced Mother Yashoda that she was very sincere and she had so much love for Krishna, oh Yashoda Mayi, if I could just hold Krishna in my arms for 1 minute, my life would be successful. And Mother Yashoda was thinking, such nice lady. Yes, you can hold my Krishna. So now she's thinking, now I have him. Already she had smeared poison all over her breast. Now she was putting Krishna to the breast to kill him. And when Prabhupada was giving this class, I heard this class. Prabhupada was speaking on this leela. And he said, Prabhupada said like this, but Krishna always takes the bright side. He always sees the bright side. He never sees the dark side. So what was the bright side? Prabhupada explained, oh, Putana, she's approaching me like a mother. He saw something good. Oh, she's approaching me like a mother. So he sucked out all her demoniac tendencies, killed everything that was demoniac, and liberated that soul back to Vaikuntha. So he killed her, but she went back to Vaikuntha, just like Sishupal. So if Krishna kisses you or he kills you, same result. Because Krishna always sees the bright side. As Putana was approaching him, there was no bright side. Everything was rotten. Everything was negative. She did not have one good thought in her mind. But somehow or other, Krishna found something good. This is Krishna. Oh, she's approaching me like mother. He took the bright side. So Prabhupada is teaching us how to become Krishna conscious. What does it mean to be Krishna conscious? When we talk about Krishna consciousness, when we preach to people, Krishna consciousness, what do we mean when we say Krishna consciousness? Now I'm asking a question. Someone has to answer. See the bright side, yeah, exactly. We should always see the positive side in everybody. Thank you very much, Panditji. Because that's Krishna conscious. That's how Krishna sees. If I have different opinion than Krishna, can I say that I'm representing him? Not if I have different opinion. If this person's very dear to Krishna, but I don't like him, then I have different opinion than Krishna. I cannot say I'm Krishna's man, Krishna's woman, Krishna's devotee, Krishna's representative. That would be wrong. Then I would be falsely proclaiming something that is not the fact. Then I would be charlatan. Bogus! So Krishna loves everyone because he sees the good in everyone. When we say Paramahamsa, Prabhupada is Paramahamsa. We say certain acharyas, gurus are Paramahamsa. What do we mean by Paramahamsa? Well, it's made of two words, Hamsa and Param. Hamsa means swan. Param means supreme swan. So let us look at the swan. The swan has the ability to take milk from water. If you pour the milk in the water, the swan will just take milk and leave water behind. Not one drop of water will come, only milk. How he does that, nobody knows. Only Krishna knows. Krishna gave the swan that shakti. We cannot do. So Paramhamsa Guru means that he's like the swan. He only takes the milk, doesn't see the water. In other words, he always sees the bright side. He only sees your good qualities, he doesn't see the negative qualities. He knows they are there, no doubt, but he doesn't take them into consideration. Krishna could see the negative side of Putana, but he doesn't take it into consideration. He only takes the bright side. He only sees the good, just as the empowered, pure devotee, Mahabhagavat devotee, only sees the good, and therefore he empowers every devotee. Because when we see the negative, when we see the fault, then we disempower people. Oh, you can't do that. You don't have the quality to do this. You don't have that talent. You don't have that determination. See? We disempower people. But Prabhupada, Krishna, pure devotees, Mahabhagavats, they always empower people. You can do. Yes, do it. Because in the instruction is the empowerment to fulfill it. When Guru gives instruction, the empowerment to fulfill that instruction is built in. If we fail, it's because we lacked faith, we lacked determination. Because every instruction we can fulfill. Krishna will never, or Guru will never give you a task that is impossible to do. That's logical. It's reasonable. How can I tell you to do something that's impossible? That would be foolish. So everything, every instruction I'm giving must be possible. And within that possibility is the empowerment to be successful. And because we are the devotees of Krishna, he makes sure that we're always protected so that we can always accomplish that service that we are given. So for the protection of the devotees, Krishna's chakra, the Sudarshan chakra, is always standing at the ready to protect. Therefore, by the way, this chakra is so extremely fearful to the non-devotees because this chakra, it cannot be vanquished. Therefore, in this verse, Bhakta Abhirakshanam, for the protection of his devotees, because Pratyanika Bhava Bhayavaham, Pratyanika Bhava Aham. It's extremely fearful to the enemies of the Lord. Bhaya means fear. So therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, therefore, his kingdom that he was ruling over was free from all fear of adversity. Because he was protected, therefore his household was protected, therefore his praja was protected, therefore his entire kingdom was safe by Krishna's chakra. So, this is just to go to show you what a great devotee Maharaj Ambarish was. Now, what happens is that Durvas Muni comes to visit him. Everyone aware of Durvas Muni? You've heard this name before? What does Durvas mean? In Sanskrit, it's made up of two words, Dur and Vas. What does it mean? Sorry? He doesn't dress properly. Maybe he didn't, yeah? Sorry? Well, hang on, two people at the same time, one at a time, you first. Dur means distance, right? Vas means where you live. He lived at a great distance from Krishna. Just like we have Mahatma, right? Mahatma means great soul. What does Duratma mean? You're living at a great distance away from your soul. In other words, the bodily concept of life. I'm completely on the bodily platform, Duratma. I have great distance away from the Atma. So Durvasa Muni was a great muni, a great mystic yogi. He had Shakti. He had the kind of Shakti that no one in this world today has. Shakti he had, but bhakti he didn't have. He didn't have bhakti. So he had the Shakti, Maharaj Ambarish had the bhakti. So what happened was, these two personalities, the Shaktiman and the Bhaktiman, met. Durvasa Muni came to see him, to visit him, because he had great renown. Maharaj Ambarish, famous devotee. Okay, let me go meet him. So when Durvasa Muni came to visit him, it is the Vedic custom that when a guest comes, you immediately stop everything, drop whatever you're doing, and offer him a welcome, a seat, some water, sweet words. This is called otiti seva, because the guest in Vedic culture is considered as good as God. God has come to my home. Guest has come. Otiti seva. So Ambarish Maharaj was doing his puja at the time that Durvasa Muni came. So he was so absorbed in his puja that he was unaware that the guest had come. This is called full absorption in the seva. You don't know anything else. This type of absorption we should have when we chant japa. Then tomorrow we'll be all pure devotees in one day. So when Durvas Muni saw, I'm the guest, I've just arrived, and he's doing his seva, and he doesn't even recognize me. He felt offended. He has offended me. I am this guest, and he's ignoring me. He felt offended. Now, Maharaj Ambarish, he also thought later on, if as we read the Leela, he considered, actually, yes, I committed great offense. He's my guest. I didn't give him first consideration. So both Maharaj Ambarish considered, I committed an offense. And Durvasa Muni considered, yes, you made offense to me. But what did Sudarshan Chakra think? Sudarshan Chakra had different opinion. Did not consider the offense was to Durvasa Muni, but considered that the offense was to Ambarish Maharaj. Well, how is that? Because Sudarshan Chakra has higher, deeper, more profound understanding. So although from the point of view of material calculation, Durvasa Muni was correct, he didn't offer me recognition as a guest. It's an offense. But from the higher point of view, the deeper internal point of view, Sudarshan Chakra recognized he has a foul mentality. Negative mentality towards this great devotee who's so dear to Krishna. So when considering what is offensive and what is not offensive, one is the activity, two is the mentality. In other words, what is the bhava? What is our mood? And that is more important. Therefore, Sudarshan Chakra came to the conclusion that you have offended the devotee of Krishna. And he went to slice off the head of Durvasa Muni. But Durvasa Muni, he had more Shakti than Shishupal. He escaped. Using his mystic powers, he went through the universe. Sudarshan Chakra followed him, but could not catch him. Such Shakti this Durvasa Muni had. But Durvasa Muni could not escape Sudarshan Chakra. He was on his heels. So finally, Durvasa Muni realized, I have only one hope to escape from Sudarshan Chakra, and that is to go to Vishnu himself. So he went, he could go to Vishnu. This is the Shakti of this Durvasa Muni. No bhakti, but so much Shakti that he could see Vishnu personally, face to face. And he came to Vishnu, offered dandavat pranams. He said, please save me. Sudarshan Chakra wants to kill me. You please save me. You are Patit Pavan. You're the savior of the most fallen. You please protect me. What did Vishnu say? Vishnu said, my hands are tied. I can do nothing. What? Vishnu could do nothing? Durvasa Muni was astonished. Vishnu gave the explanation. Because you have offended my devotee, only he can forgive the offense. No one else, not even me. Now let us try and understand the deep meaning behind this. The deep meaning, you should write it down if you're taking notes, is this. That if you offend the Vaishnava, you are cut from the mercy of Vishnu. Vishnu can no longer help you, can no longer protect you. Are you shocked? Durvasa Muni was shocked. Outside on the street, there are thieves, dacoits, murderers, women hunters, cow killers on the streets of Bombay. But they're not cut from the mercy of Vishnu. They can get the mercy of Vishnu. But if you offend the Vaishnava, you are now in the worse situation than those cow killers and murderers because you are now cut from the mercy of Vishnu. You only have one hope, to go back to that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness. Then you're reestablished, reconnected to the mercy of Vishnu. You understand this point? How many people understand this point? Now, in Kali Yuga, we are not held responsible for our thoughts. So I may think something negative about some Vaishnava, which would be considered aparad by Sudarshan Chakra, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of Krishna, we won't be held responsible for that thought, because in Kali Yuga we get special kripa, special karuna, special dispensation of mercy. However, you should realize that whatever you're thinking will eventually come out and be spoken. And that was very dangerous, because once you say something negative about that other Vaishnava, you've now severed your connection with Vishnu. And unless you go back to that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness, then you are cast adrift in worse situation than the cow killers. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Sati went to the Daksha Yajna and heard her own father, Daksha, speak in a way that was disparaging to Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the topmost Vaishnava, she could not tolerate it. Immediately she gave up her life. She said, you are no longer my father. The body that you have given to me now is a disgrace for me. I will sever this link with you, great aparadi, by giving up this body. She had so much shakti, she sat down like this and went up in flames. Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva. And from this became the practice of Sati in our Vaishnav Vedic Dharma, which now is not no longer extant because it became degraded. Sati did it voluntarily, but after some time in Kali Yuga, they forced people against their will. They forced ladies to do that against their will. So that was not proper sati. That was the degraded sati. So it was stopped. But sati set the highest example. She could not tolerate Vaishnav aparad even from her own father. And what happened to Daksha? He got the head of a goat. He was a great king. He had power, he had wealth, he had fame, he had everything, but now he had the head of a goat. You cannot offend or speak disparagingly about someone who is very dear to Lord Krishna. And those persons who are dear to Lord Krishna are those who are giving their lives to share with the world the holy names, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all we need to do is learn to control our mind. We may think something bad about somebody. Why? Because they hurt me. They did something against me. They cheated me. They said something. And now I want my revenge. So I carry this negative feeling towards them. But it doesn't hurt them. It only hurts me. It's committing spiritual suicide. So the first teaching, the very first teaching to be a Vaishnava is this: to be the well-wisher of every living entity. Because if you're the well-wisher of every living entity, then you will not find the fault. You will find the good quality. Just like we have the example, President Kennedy was murdered by Lee Harvey Oswald. But what did his mother say? He was a good boy. She only saw the good out of love. Mother always loves son. Even if son turns out to be horrible, still mother's love is there. So Krishna's love is for every one of us. And if we want to say we're Krishna conscious or we're Vaishnavas, we're devotees of Krishna, we better start having a similar mood, a similar bhava as Krishna, and be the well-wisher of every living entity. Because there's only two bhavas that you can have. There's only two. One is that you're the well-wisher of every living entity, or you're not the well-wisher of every living entity. If you're not the well-wisher of every living entity, it means there is envy in your heart. That's the reason we came to this material world. We are filled with envy. But when you're the well-wisher of every living entity, this envy disappears. So, as a devotee, we must become the well-wisher of every living entity, even Putana. As Krishna saw something good there, we also have to see the good in everybody. And what is the good? That they're coming and taking darshan of Radha Gopinath. That is good. Doesn't matter who they are or what they are. They've come and taken darshan of my Lord. Then I am their well-wisher forever. Whose mood is that? Radharani. Radharani. Oh, they've come to take darshan of my Gopinath. She gives them so much kripa. She's their well-wisher forever and ever. But if I speak disparagingly about such person, who Radharani is well-wisher of, then what is Radha's mood with me? If I speak something negative about a Vaishnava, about another devotee, she will give sour face and turn her face away from me. Is that what I want? My godbrother, Jayananda, who was the first saint in our movement, certified by Srila Prabhupada, he could not tolerate hearing anything negative about another Vaishnava. If he was standing in a group of devotees and they were talking, and if one devotee said something negative about another devotee, Jayananda would turn to that person, give a sour face, and immediately leave the room. He wouldn't say a word. He'd just give a sour face and leave the room. Take his distance from such negative Vaishnava aparad. And that person would realize, oh my God, I've offended Jayananda. Then they would realize, I have to change my mentality. So this chapter, well, not this particular chapter, but this canto 9, we're going to see this story unfold, this lila between Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. So this is very important for us to understand that devotional service is so powerful, nothing can check it except aparad. You can commit the most heinous activity, the greatest pop, and that will not check your advancement in devotional service. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabha. Krishna says in that verse that even if you commit the most heinous activity, if you carry on in devotional service, sadhur eva samantavya, I will still consider you to be a sadhu. That is Krishna's consciousness. That's Krishna's perspective. He's the ever-well-wisher. Who else is the ever-well-wisher? Srila Prabhupada. In every letter he said, you're ever-well-wisher, forever and ever. It will not change. So that is the standard of Vaishnavism. This is the standard of Krishna consciousness. And we slowly, step by step, must come to this standard by knowing what to do and what not to do. Knowing what not to do is more important. Because if we do the wrong thing, we're finished. But if we don't know how to do the right thing, that is okay, because we're like children. Toddlers, they don't know what to do, but we love them. So if you don't know what to do, that's okay, you can learn. But if you do the wrong thing, commit aparad, then you're finished. So we must know these things. Therefore, the 10 offenses are stressed, emphasized. We should know what they are and try to avoid them. And then our path back to home, back to Godhead, is clear. So I'll read this verse one more time. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his chakra, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, the Panditji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class. One question which we've asked many times, but wish to ask again.
He's
Sri Radha Gopinath ki.
How should we perceive the protection of the Supreme Lord? Because sometimes we see that even devotees go through a lot of unbearable difficulties. And even in our Shastric evidence, we know that devotees like Abhimanyu were killed on the battlefield. So how do we perceive this protection of the Supreme Lord in different contexts?
Well, even Prabhupada went through so many difficulties, suffered two heart attacks on the Jaldut on his way to America to preach the message of Krishna. So how do we understand these things? That's your question. We cannot always understand what is Krishna's intention. But we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada that although he underwent these difficulties, Krishna appeared to him in dreams and in visions. And Prabhupada wrote beautiful poems expressing his feelings. So one may come to the conclusion, and this is in Shastra also, that sometimes Krishna puts us in a distressful situation to deepen the relationship so that we'll take more shelter of him. That may be one reason. Of course, Krishna has so many reasons, and they may be so profound, and they're based on an individual life. So in my life, he may do something for this reason, then your life for another reason, because we're all unique individuals. But the ultimate thing is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. That verse. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To give you more understanding, deeper realization of bhakti yoga, so that you can come to me. That's the ultimate reason. That Krishna will put you in some situation that you just surrender, and he'll give you that intelligence that you can surrender. Because in the instruction comes the empowerment to fulfill. So by simply following Krishna's instruction is the empowerment built in so that you can come to me. Yena mam upayanti te, so you can come to me. Krishna has so much love for us. He wants us to come to him. So from our point of view, we're seeing that Abhimanyu was put in a very awkward situation, a dharmic situation, attacked mercilessly. But Krishna wanted him to come to me. Yena mam upayanti te. Okay, we're going to finish it this way. I have a reason for finishing it that way. Krishna's reasons we may not always understand. Just like, for example, if I can give a personal example, my wife had a dream not long ago. She was in anxiety. And she had a dream, and Krishna came to her, and he said, "Don't worry, I have a plan for you." So he didn't reveal what his plan was, but Krishna came to my wife and said, "I have a plan for you. Don't worry." So he has a plan for you and for me and for everybody. We may not understand that plan, just like an ant cannot understand the society of Mumbai, how this society is working. An ant cannot understand that. An ant cannot understand the Times of India newspaper. So how we can understand Krishna? You see the point? But Krishna has a plan. Yena mam upayanti te, so that you come back to him. Ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. He wants you to come back to him. So that we know. And that is the most important thing to know. And if we know that, we will have faith, Shraddha. And that Shraddha will be built on a solid foundation of understanding that Krishna loves us and wants us to come back to him. That's a strong foundation for Shraddha. Does that answer the question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the beautiful lecture. I'm not very clear on one thing. You made a statement that we have two bhava. When we see out, it is lust we want to enjoy. When we exhale, this is the love we give out. I'm not very clear about it. Just can you illustrate, please?
Okay. Kama means that I want something for my benefit. And there are so many things that I may see that are for my benefit. But prema is not for my benefit. It's for the benefit of my beloved. You're a mother. You work day and night for your children. When they're babies, they may cry at 3 o'clock at night when you're sleeping, but you get up and dutifully take care of them. Everything you do is for their benefit. And when they grow up and they have their degree and they have big job, you don't hand them a bill and say, you owe me so much money for 20 years of service. No. It's for their benefit. That's love. Love goes out for the benefit of others. And kama is coming in for my own benefit. That's what I was trying to explain. The direction is either going out for the benefit of someone else, who is my beloved, or the direction is coming in for my own benefit, for my own personal self-enjoyment. So love means nishkam karma. Selfless service, that is love. But the service that I do for the government service or the railway service or the business service, that's for my benefit. That's not selfless service. I'm doing it for the money. There's motivation there. But love is unmotivated. There's no motivation. Simply to please the object of your love. So the object of your love is your children. You know how to give nishkam, selfless service to your children. So now you take that ability of selfless service that you gave to your children, to your family, and give to Krishna. You already know how to do it. You did it with your children. Now do it with Krishna. Do everything for Krishna's benefit, to please Krishna. And in this way, you become topmost Vaishnavi, and you'll go back to Krishna at the end of this life. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you said that love means unmotivated, right?
Unmotivated, yes.
But
Ahoituki apratiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted.
So, Prabhu, then how should we understand, when people like Uttara, people like Ambarish Maharaj, they all asking for Krishna for protection. I'm thinking it's like a self-interest.
Okay, that's a very nice question. His question is, why am I asking for Krishna to protect me? Because then there's some motivation there. I should say, don't protect me. But you have to understand what is your position. Okay? Now, I was speaking about this family life and the mother and the child. The child is helpless. The child cries out for his mother, Ma, help me. And the mother helps. And there's no one says anything negative. Oh, the child, why you're asking for help? No one chastises the child while you're asking for help. Srila Prabhupada in 1969 in December, when he spoke about the Maha Mantra, he spoke about the mood, the bhava. He said we should chant this Maha Mantra like in the mood of a child crying for its mother. So we have to understand what is our position in relationship to Krishna. In relationship to Krishna, we are like toddlers. You know what is a toddler? That's an English word. It means the baby who cannot walk yet. He's just toddling on hands and knees. Cannot walk yet. Maybe at 18 months he can walk, but at 6 months he's only a toddler. So in devotional service, we are just toddlers. We haven't even begun to walk. Think about it. We're just beginners, taking our very first step. So from that point of view, we can cry out, Krishna, please help us. Because we're the babies, the toddlers, the infants. We have no shakti. And Krishna, just like a loving father or mother, so happy to take you in his arms and to protect you. Whether you ask or you don't ask, Krishna is always protecting you. But if you ask Krishna, please protect me, he likes that. It's sweet. Sometimes a child, he's doing something and his mother is seeing that he's not so expert at it. But the child is trying on his own, but he's failing. Then finally he says, Mata, can you help me? And she's so happy to help, isn't it? And it gives her so much joy to help. So we can give joy to Krishna by saying, Krishna, you help me. And he's really happy to do like that. Like a loving parent. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Vaishnava Parad, you mentioned, is dangerous. But among neophytes, there are sometimes we do Ninda. How does Krishna take this?
Doesn't like it. Radharani doesn't like it. Sadhu Ninda. Sadhu Reva Samantavya. Because we've taken to this process of Krishna consciousness, under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee in Parampara, therefore we're considered by Krishna to be sadhu. So if one sadhu is doing sadhu ninda to another, it's not favorable. How Krishna will take it in every situation is unique. Krishna deals on a personal level with everybody. So how he takes it in this situation, how he takes it in that situation, we don't know. But we do know that it is unfavorable. Why I should do something unfavorable against my own interest? Is that intelligent? To act against my own interest? No. And why am I acting against my own interest? Because of the ripu, chai ripu, the six enemies in the heart. Kam, krobh, lobh, moha, mada, matsara. The six chief enemies. There's many more. But our original consciousness is covered by this negativity. Birth after birth after birth after birth. So we now have negative samskaras in our consciousness that comes out just like that. And the process of Krishna consciousness is to cheto darpana marjanam, to cleanse the heart, to cleanse the consciousness of this negativity. It's considered to be dirt and dust accumulated for millions of births. So the whole process of the chanting of Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is to cleanse the negativity, the dirt, the dust in our consciousness so that we will not commit this sadhu ninda. We will not find the fault. We will not criticize, but we will try to find something good. So the chanting of the Maha Mantra is to solve this problem. We're acting against our own interest since time immemorial, and that's why birth after birth after birth, we take different births in material world. Now we want to stop this samsara. So we want to cleanse the consciousness with the power, the cleaning power of Maha Mantra, so that we won't do this sadhu ninda. And if when Krishna sees a change in your mentality, then he never looks back. He just looks forward. Okay, you're on the right track. Give you my blessings. Sadhu Reva Samantavya. He'll consider you to be a sadhu. But we must be careful not to take advantage of Krishna's kindness. So Srila Prabhupada was discussing this point many, many years ago. And he was saying, he was quoting this verse and saying that we may accidentally do something so bad, so negative, so abominable, but Krishna will forgive because it was accidental. Once, twice, three times. But don't do it premeditatively, purposefully. Then that is the greatest offense. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do we know if a fall down is accidental or premeditated? How do we know? Is that a good question? Would you like to know the answer? So Prabhupada paused for a moment, head was down, and then in a very grave tone of voice, he said, if he comes back, the fall down was accidental. If he comes back, the fall down was accidental. And I have seen over the years some of my godbrothers who criticized, fell away, fell into the most abominable activities, years, 10 years, 20 years. But at the end of their life, they came back and they got the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada is so merciful that he said, if he comes back to devotional service, he will, Prabhupada will consider that the fall down was accidental, even if it's 10 years or 20 years gone of Maya. That is Prabhupada's mercy. So how do we understand this according to Shastra? If we look at Shastra, we see, again, another aparad committed by two sons of Kuver, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, against Narad Muni. You know this lila? So they were performing abominable activities in the lake, naked and drunk, trying to seduce young girls. And when Narad Muni appeared on the scene, they were disturbed and angry. Oh, now this sadhu is here, he's spoiling our fun. Because the girls immediately were embarrassed. They were also in Maya for a while, but then as soon as they saw Narada Muni, they realized we're total Maya. But the two sons of Kuvera were so intoxicated, they were disturbed and angry at his presence. So Narada Muni could understand these boys really need a lesson. So he said, well, if you like to stand naked, I give you the benediction, you can stand naked as trees. And when they heard him say like that, they were shocked. Because they knew he was a powerful rishi and his words were come true. So they were shocked into reality. Now Narada Muni is a Vaishnava. He has a soft heart. He's a devotee. So when he saw the look on their face, his heart softened. But he could not take back his words. His words were already history. The word of a sadhu is so powerful, it will happen. So he gave an added benediction. Okay, you will stand as trees, but you will stand as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj when Krishna performs his pastimes on planet Earth. And so it was. In the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Gokula were two Yamal Arjun trees. And they were Manigriva and Nalakuvara, cursed by Narad Muni. So in the Damodar Leela, after Mother Yashoda finally binds Damodar to that grinding mortar and goes back to the kitchen to finish the cooking the milk preparations, she's making sweets, milk sweets for Krishna. Kaju barfi and sandesh. But not the kind you get in Bombay. Much better. So then Krishna, he crawls he's like a toddler. He can walk and run, but he's crawling because he's pulling this huge mortar that he's tied to behind him, and he's going towards the two trees. And in the shloka, in the Bhagavatam, in 10th canto, as he's walking towards the trees, Krishna says, these two trees are the sons of Kuvera. I know this. They were cursed by Narada Muni. Then he says, I have nothing to do with these two boys. I always found that very interesting. I have nothing to do with them, Krishna says. And then I found the meaning in Bhagavad Gita. Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajam yaham. They had nothing to do with Krishna, so he had nothing to do with them. This is his motto. It's philosophy of life. This is how he reciprocates. You reciprocate zero, I give zero. You reciprocate 100%, I give 100%. Then he says, but to honor the word of my pure devotee, Narad Muni, I will now give them my darshan. And he took the mortar, got stuck between the two trees. The trees came down. Out came these two demigods, devatas. And simply by that darshan of Krishna, instantly they became purified. So to honor the word of his pure devotee. So similarly, Prabhupada is the pure devotee. So to honor the word of Prabhupada, his pure devotee, if they come back, I will consider it accidental fall down. So Krishna is considering also accidental fall down to the honor the word of his pure devotee, Prabhupada. That is living Shastra. It is the Shastra of the 21st century that we're seeing in practical experience, not from some book 10,000 years ago, but actually happening now. And there are so many things happening right now. How much time do we have? Because if you have another 5 minutes, I will tell you a story that will amaze you. I had a godbrother that I never met, but his name was Raghava, Raghava Das Brahmachari. He was from Scotland. And he joined in the Edinburgh temple. And he loved to go out on Harinam Sankirtan with one great devotee, godbrother of mine who has since left his body, Tribhuvanath Prabhu. Tribhuvanath in our movement was famous. He traveled all over the world and he inspired people with chanting and festivals. So Raghava joined this party of Tribhuvanath. And he got initiated by Srila Prabhupada as Raghava Das Brahmachari. Now, there was one sannyasi there who was overseeing all the programs. His name was Rebati Nandan Swami. So, not long, very shortly after Raghava got initiated, they were driving from one place to another, and Krishna Das, who was driving the vehicle, fell asleep. And it was a huge accident. The driver was saved because of the steering wheel, but Raghava went through and left his body. So Ribhakti Nandan Swami wrote to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, what should we do? So Prabhupada wrote back, you hold a ceremony for Raghava Das Brahmachari. After 3 days, you offer prasad to him, you chant the mantras and everything for the departure of a Vaishnava. And I'm sure that his next destination will be as a devotee. Okay? That letter is there. You can read it in the Veda base. So now we move forward. This was in 1973. Now we move forward to the 21st century. And Bhakti Charu Swami has one disciple. Should I mention her name? I guess so. Ratnavali Devi Dasi. Nobody here knows her anyway. So one day she approaches her Guru Maharaj, who was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and she explains something, that she's been having these recurring dreams. She's terrified to drive in a car. She dreams of crashes. What is your service? Well, my service is I'm out with the Harinam party. I go out with the Harinam party every day. And she plays a little drum. The Harinam party that she goes out with, this Sankirtan party, is led by Tribhuvanath's number one right-hand man. Tribhuvanath Maharaj has also left the planet, but his first disciple, not disciple, his assistant, has taken over his program. So she's doing that. And she's explaining different things of these dreams that she's having. So both Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Charu Maharaj, they say, well, why don't you do a past life regression to see what's causing these things? So she goes to two different psychologists and she has past life regression done. In both of the cases, the same thing comes out. She was previously a devotee and was killed in a car crash. So she goes back to Guru Maharaj and she explains what happened. So he suggests, you should find out which devotee died in car crash. So she did research and she found out this story, this letter about Raghava Das Brahmachari. And so she contacted Ribhakti Nandan Swami, who's in Hawaii, and she got as much information as she could about Raghava. She went to this is in London. She went and got the birth certificate, the death certificate, the cause of death, the autopsy, post-mortem. She got all that information to find out as much as she could about Raghava. Then she, in course of her research, she found the devotee who was driving the car. And he explained more and more. Then she found out that Raghava had been attracted to one Indian lady, Brahmacharini, devotee. She got the name from Krishna Das and she contacted that lady. And when she met that lady, she was shocked because that lady looked exactly like her. Same features, same body, same shape, almost looked identical. She didn't remember Raghava. But Raghava, I forgot to tell another part of the story. When she asked Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he had said to her, when she came back and said that the person I found who died in a car crash was Raghava Das Brahmachari. So he said, well, we don't know if that's you or not, but if it was, who was it that he was thinking of at the time of his death? So she did the research and found that Indian girl, who looked almost like her. She was having dreams then of a pub. Very strange, dreaming of a pub. And inside, she would go inside that pub, and inside the pub was a staircase, a circular staircase, painted with black and white. So in the course of her research, she thought, I want to visit that Edinburgh temple. So they took her to the address, and that, of course, that Edinburgh temple had was only a rented house. And it was later, they had to vacate. It's now a pub. She went inside and saw that circular staircase. It was exactly the same as she saw in her dream. She also dreamed of being in a park, chanting Hare Krishna in a park. And as she was leaving that temple, walking down the streets, she passed the park. She went into that park, and it was exactly the same park that she'd seen in her dreams, where Raghava had used to chant his japa. She also had another dream. These are all recurring dreams that she had over and over and over again. She was in a room, and out the window she saw beautiful hills and greenery. So she became more and more convinced. And when she approached Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they also became convinced that this was the reincarnation of Raghava. So she decided, let me try and contact the parents of Raghava. She found out they had both left their bodies, but she found the address where they lived. So she went to that house. And she knocked on the door and asked if anybody knew the family. No, nobody knew. She went next door. There was an elderly lady. And she remembered the family. And she said, that room there was his house, was his room, whatever his name was before he became initiated. So she went back and asked that family if she could see that room. It's very emotional. And through the window, she saw the greenery and everything, the fields. So we see here the living Shastra, Raghava, a great brahmachari, going out on Harinam, but he became attached to this Indian lady. He was thinking of her. And at the time of death, he was thinking of her. And in his next body, he took the body of an Indian lady. She became a devotee. So then the final chapter of the story, she got all the information. She sent her chart and the birth and death, all the data, to this one astrological agency. And they did the charts and found how it was actually, how Raghav had reincarnated. They saw all the points that were connected, how it happened. Fifth house is the house of the past. I mean, you have to understand astrology. But if you read this, you can see how it's right there in the charts, in her chart and his chart. That's how powerful astrology is. So this is the living Shastra. That whatever you think at the time of death, that you will attain in your next life. Do you need any more proof? Do you need any more proof than that? This is no longer book knowledge. This is reality. So just make sure that at the time of death, you're thinking of Krishna. And the only way you can guarantee that at the end of your life, you'll think of Krishna is by practicing thinking of Krishna every moment of your life by chanting constantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if any of you are interested to know more about this, you just go to Bhakti Charu Maharaj's web page. The whole story is there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.